Would you turn your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 onwards, we read there, "Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourself, "We have Abraham for our father." And I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham.'" You see, John was baptizing in the River Jordan, and people were flocking. And it was a popular thing those days, because everybody was getting baptized, and even the Pharisees and the Sadducees also came along and stood in the queue. And these people were confessing their sins, the others, I mean the tax collectors and the soldiers and the publicans, sinners, they were confessing their sins, and he was baptizing them, and he was telling them what to do. When they were asking, "What should we do?" he told the soldiers, "Don't extract money unnecessarily from people. Only take what is due and be content with your wages." Like that, he kept on advising, and then he was baptizing. And these guys just stood in the queue to be baptized. You know, John had discernment. He saw through these Pharisees and Sadducees' hollowness. And he confronted them and he said, "You brood of vipers," means you sons of snakes, "who warned you to escape the wrath to come?" That means, who told you to come here for baptism, in other words? First bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. That means, first show that there is a change in your life, and then you can be baptized. When he called them like that, "You sons of snakes," you know what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did? They got offended. They got offended and went back. They didn't get baptized. You read that in Luke 7, verse 30. Luke 7, verse 30, it says, "But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John." John didn't baptize them. They went away. And John says further here, "The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor, and he will gather the wheat," which is the believers, genuine ones, "and he will burn up the chaff," which is unbelievers and unbelieving believers, and hypocrites will be burnt up in unquenchable fire. See, he says here, the axe is already laid at the root. We read in the Old Testament a verse in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, it speaks about the stem of Jesse. You know, Jesse's genealogy, his family line, through which David came and Solomon came, and then others, some good ones like Asa, Hezekiah, Josiah, such people, until the deportation to Babylon, until King Jeconiah. Until then, you know, it was not so good after David, but God had left a stem there. A stem, you know, when you cut down a tree, you leave a stem, then again it sprouts. But if you put the axe to the root and deal with the root, then it's gone for good. I want you to turn with me to Daniel. There was another tree and another stump that was left there. Daniel 4:14. Daniel 4:14. Here King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in the dream he saw a huge tree reaching up to the heavens, and all the birds were taking shelter there, and animals under the shade of the tree, and it was so good and all that. Then suddenly there was a voice, an angelic watcher, a holy one descended from heaven, shouted out and spoke as follows: chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground. See, he didn't tell them to, you know, lay the axe to the root. He said, just chop off the tree, leave the stump for it. Why? Because at a later date, as you read that story in Daniel, the same chapter, he loses his kingdom, he becomes insane and acts like an animal, and he lives in the wild with wild animals for about 7 years. Then afterwards, when he lifted up his eyes and his reason returned to him, no, God restored back his kingdom to him. That is how this stem that was left started, you know, springing up again back to life. And then God gave back his kingdom and then he ruled. But here John says the axe is already laid to the root. Root of what? Root of our religiosity, our self-life, our honor-seeking, trying to give a good impression to others, trying to live a pious life before others. Outside you are one thing, inside you are another thing. Like that saying goes, angel abroad and devil at home. You are one thing outside. Outsiders, you give a good impression, like, you know, very humbly greeting them, and you know, they have such a good opinion about you. Ask your wife, what is your opinion? What is her opinion about you? We put in our house, Christ is the head of this home. Silent listener to every conversation. Do you really believe that? If you really believe that, you will be very careful how you speak at home to your wife and to your children and to your husband and to the others, even in the office. You're one thing at home, another thing outside. Don't live this dual kind of life against which God is, against which John the Baptist lambasted these fellows. He told you hypocrites. He called them with the worst name, rugged man that he was. He used rugged words to them, calling them sons of snakes, you brood of vipers. Have you ever heard anybody talking to people like that? It's there in the Bible. Jesus, go home and read chapter 23 of Matthew. He kept on lambasting these Pharisees and Sadducees. He stripped them of all their religious veneer. He really stripped them of all their garb of religiosity. They used to, you know, get honorable places in banquets and honorable greetings in marketplaces, and he used to make long prayers in the city squares and things like that. Honor seeking. Jesus said, how can you believe if you receive glory and honor from one another? If you are the kind of person, you are more interested in the honor of man, what so and so thinks about you, than what Almighty God, who sees you in secret, who knows what you're thinking, who sees you in and out, day and night, you're not bothered about him. Who cares for God? I'm more bothered about these fellows around me, in the church, in my neighborhood. You want a good testimony from them? It is to such people John the Baptist is saying the axe is already laid to the root. When the axe is laid to the root, my dear brother, there is no hope. If the stem is left out, at least there is. You know, these are the sins, the hidden sins which man does not see, which only you know and God knows. Not even the devil knows about your thoughts. Your actions, yes. Your words, what you speak in the home, yes. But we have to do with him before whom everything is laid bare and nothing is hidden from his sight. David says in the Psalms, Lord, you even know my thoughts from afar. You know my sitting down and standing up. You know even the words that I'm going to speak. Before I speak, you know what I'm going to speak. Lord, where can I go and hide myself from your presence? You are there everywhere. I can't run away from you. Even if I go down deep in the bottom of the sea, you are there. Even if I take wings and fly to the farthest corner of the earth, you are there. Lord, where can I go? Do we live in that kind of godly fear? Or we are only afraid when we come here on Sundays? What is my self life? What is my private life? How is it with me in my family life? We read in Galatians 5. It says about the deeds of the flesh, which are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit God's kingdom. You read all those. Sometimes you may think, yeah, I am excluded, I am not immoral, I am not impure, I am not sensual. Outbursts of anger, not many brothers have seen me lose my temper. Disputes, yeah, I don't quarrel in the church. Dissensions, factions, no. Envying, this is something that nobody can see. Only you can see. Only you know and God knows. Drunkenness, everybody sees. And jealousy, self-seeking, honor-seeking. Dear brothers and sisters, how is it with us? Are we satisfied with the external testimony that everybody thinks well about me and couldn't care less what Almighty God thinks about me? We read about, in the Bible, we read about Cain. He was jealous of Abel because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, the younger brother, and this older brother got offended. We heard the other day from Brother Anand, Cain could have gone to Abel and said, Brother Abel, what was wrong with me? Could you please tell me, how is it that God accepted your offering and not mine? It's not because he brought a lamb and this man got some vegetables. No. It says, God had regard for Abel, and then he accepted his sacrifice. But it says God didn't have regard for Cain. That's why he didn't. That means his life was not good in the sight of God. In his private life, he was not faithful. We read about David and Saul. David was a young boy, half the age of Saul. When Saul was made king, David was not even born. David was 30 when he became king. Saul ruled for 40 years. He could have humbled himself and given way to this young brother like Jonathan, the prince, king to be. He recognized the anointing on this young brother, and he said, he handed over his robe, his sword, his everything, and he said, you are going to be the next king and show my family favor when you become the king, he said. He recognized that. He gave up his position. Whereas this proud king, he sat on the throne for the next 30 years or so. There are so many instances. Even Joseph, one of the youngest, 11th of the 12, the older 10 brothers were jealous of him because he was already in touch with God. God was giving him visions and dreams about his future. Whereas these guys were up to some mischief. When this young man used to come and tell the father, they used to be angry with him. And later on, they sold him and they made him slave. But it was all ordained and planned by God. All the evil things that happened to these fellows, God turned it around and worked something good out of it. He made all these things work together for the very best, like it says in Romans 8:28. No thing you can say is against me. The worst thing that ever happened in the history of this world was the crucifixion of Jesus. If it hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here today. That worst thing, God changed it so that you and I can be saved and become his children. We read in 1 Corinthians 3:3. We can turn to 1 Corinthians 3:3. Rather, we can read from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? One mark of my being fleshly or living like a small baby is that it's given there very clearly. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you. If there is some kind of jealousy in your heart today towards somebody or towards some family, you wish that some calamity would strike that family or that person who is flourishing and doing well, maybe in the world or even spiritually. And you are jealous. Outwardly you are very nice to them, but inwardly there is a dagger in your heart. And it says about strife, you have quarrels. Quarrel with your mother-in-law or your daughter-in-law or some other law. Examine your own hearts, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. When your turn comes, the Lord says, not you, next. Because you already judged yourself while you were on earth. There is nothing in heaven, there is no record, because everything has been cleansed and washed away. You need not be judged. If you don't judge yourself, then you will have to face the judgment. It says in James 3:16. James 3:16. It says, for where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil thing. There is disorder. In another translation it says there is confusion. In the margin it says there is Babel. You know, when they were building the Tower of Babel, it stopped because God sent a confusion among them and their languages were changed. That was the beginning of diverse languages. If there is jealousy in your heart and selfish ambition, there is Babylon in you. And every evil thing, where do you find every evil thing? In hell. There is a little hell in your heart if you have jealousy and selfish ambition. You want self-promotion. You want to be recognized and your name to be called out. You want your family to be, you know, recognized in the church or elsewhere. Your name, you're concerned about your name, about your fame, about your popularity. Brothers are not recognizing my talents. They are not recognizing my gifts. I better go to some other church and join them. There they will recognize me. You have these selfish ambitions. Examine your own heart before the Lord. We have to do with Him, dear brothers and sisters. Even anger, for instance. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because of jealousy and anger. It says in Genesis 4, as soon as he killed Abel, God spoke to him. Why are you angry, Cain? And why has your countenance fallen? Why is your face down? Or in other words, why do you have a long face? If you intend well, verse 7, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must master it. If you don't deal with the sin that is there in your heart today, it will slowly grow and become stronger and stronger. If you don't bend a plant when it is tender and young, when it grows and becomes huge like an oak tree, you cannot do anything with that. You cannot bend it. You can do that only when it was tender and small. Same with children too. When children are young and they are with you at home, as long as they are there, you teach them, guide them, guard them, and instill some good values into them as long as they are teachable. Then when they are old, they will not depart from it. think one of the Catholic saints used to say, leave a child with me for first 8 years and then take him back and put him where you want. He will not stray away. You know, in the first 8 years or so, or 18 years, that the child is with us at home, we instill in them some godly values. And when that boy or girl grows up, when he goes out into the world and on his own, he will not depart from it. It's true, it is God's word. You know, we read in Romans 14, Romans 14, don't get discouraged when you see, hear things like this. It's only to warn us so that on the day of judgment, you shouldn't say that nobody told me. It says in Romans 14, verse 16 onwards, 16, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil or blasphemed. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. How do I serve God? Here is the way. That I am a man of peace, not a man of strife, not a man who quarrels, not a man who fights for his own rights. Yeah, you can ask for your right, like Jesus said, why do you strike me if I have spoken the truth? But they kept on hammering and he said, nothing later on. You can ask for it. If you don't get your right, the only thing you can do is give up your right. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what? The things which make for peace and the building up of one another. You see, we have all these selfish ambition, anger, jealousy, strife and all these inward things, enmity and so on. We have these inward things because it is carefully hidden. You see, God has given us a mind which is enclosed, which nobody can see what you're thinking. Even when you're sitting here, you may be wandering, you may be in some other country or maybe in your kitchen or someplace, but you see, we need to recognize that we have a God who sees everything, who watches everything. Even when I'm asleep, when I wake up, when nobody's around me, I'm being watched. If we live in that fear of God all day long, like it says in the book of Proverbs, live in the fear of God all day long, and then, you know, you will make progress. You will see things changing gradually. Everything, nothing will happen overnight. You need to decide what you want to be. You want to just go up like a shooting star. You know, all shooting stars will come down, these meteors. But you will try to be a rising star, slowly and steadily. Like the morning sun, it says in Proverbs, rises brighter and brighter and brighter until the midday brightness. Let our lives be like that, not in spurts and then again nosedive. Let's grow steadily. It doesn't matter, even if you fall 100 times, get up 101st time once more. God will never leave you there. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. And He is able to keep you from stumbling and from falling. He is able to lift you up and present you before the Father, blameless. Jude 24. Pursue these things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We build up one another only through peace and through divine love. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 13. An excellent chapter on the divine love. It says love is not jealous. There are so many things. It is patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag and is not arrogant and unbecoming. Doesn't seek its own, is not provoked, doesn't take into account the things suffered. Do we have some old files in our mind, in our heart, or even in our computers? Somebody wrote you some nasty email and you have preserved it. Brother, please delete them for your own sake. Don't keep these records in your computers. Or somebody ditched you or harmed you. Just like Christ forgave your sins, forgive them and delete them from your mind and from your computers, or even if they are there in your cupboard, tear them off. Start anew. Doesn't keep an account of wrong suffered. Does not rejoice when something bad happens to others. Bears all things and believes all things. Means believes good things about brothers and sisters. Not evil things. Somebody says something bad about somebody, try to ascribe some good motive to them. Don't say, "Oh, is that true? I didn't know that." Don't be so inquisitive like that. I find it so common. Don't get offended with me, because the Holy Spirit Himself says in the Bible that this is the weakness of sisters. You better take heed to that, my dear sisters, about gossip, going from house to house, talking about this one and that one. Don't you have anything better to speak? Can't you speak about the football game that's going on, or the cricket, or the weather, or something like that, or some general knowledge? Your GK will increase. Why do you want to increase and add up to your multitude of sins day by day? Visiting this sister for fellowship, I go there. And what do? Talk about that sister and the other family and this other one. Why is that, my dear sisters? For God's sake, decide today. If you have this divine love in your heart, you will be changed. Paul says to Timothy, "Let your progress be made manifest to all." How does that happen? Only when you have this divine love in your heart. Paul says in Romans, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts," he says. If the love of God is not shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit, then, brother, you have the opposite of love. And because you have the thing that is opposite of love, you do the things that that thing prompts you to do. If you have this love, divine love, through the Holy Spirit, that's why he says, John said, "I am only merely baptizing you in water, but the one who comes after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit." Recognize one thing: when you have this jealousy, selfish ambition, anger, enmity, and you know these internal things, sins that are polluting you day by day, impure thoughts and habits to pornography and things like that, you can be sure of one thing: that you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you are, there will be a change in you. Definite change. People will see that and they will testify about it. It's very true. When a person is changed, you can see that in his conversation. A person who was using filthy words in his unconverted days, the day he gets converted, his speech becomes pure. And he dreads to utter any of those nasty, filthy words. My dear brothers and sisters, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If not, don't continue like this. The axe is already laid at the root. It's only a matter of time before it is fell down. Decide today. Serve God in this way. It also says in John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another." Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he gave only one commandment to the disciples. "A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another even as I have loved you." He gave an example of himself. He loved them even when they deserted him, they disowned him, they denied him, betrayed him. He still loved them, called Judas friend. If Judas had gone back to the cross, he would have still forgiven him. His story would have been different. Love like that, he said, "as I have loved you." And one last word in Galatians 6:8. Seven and eight we can read. "Do not be deceived, my brethren. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. If you reap potato, don't expect tomato to be harvested. You will reap exactly what you sow. If you sow after the flesh, you will reap corruption. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life." Decide today what you want to sow and what you want to reap. If you continue sowing to the flesh, the deeds of the flesh that we already read in Galatians, it'll come out. You know, you put one grain of wheat in the ground, you will get hundreds of grains. You sow one evil thought in your mind, it comes out plentiful, abundantly. Be careful, dear brothers and sisters, what your thought life is and what you're discussing at your dining table with your children. Do I live in the fear of God all the day long? Am I allowing God to lay the axe to the root of my problem so that once for all it can be cut down and it will never spring up again? If it is not happening, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has filled you, then you will be a changed person. That's why John said, bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance, he said. If your repentance is genuine, then the fruit also will be genuine. If the repentance is hypocritical or only external, sooner or later you will be found out. One last word in Numbers. Numbers 32:23, very easy to remember this verse. The last part of it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't think that you can get away with your sin. Don't think that nobody will see you. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day, everything will be made manifest to everybody. The video of your life will be displayed. Everybody will see. If you acknowledge and ask God to forgive, God will cleanse away that so that you don't have to face that embarrassment. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen.
I believe the Lord has spoken to us this morning, and I believe God wants to help some of us who may be stuck this morning. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the signs of backsliding is that we have become lonely and we don't want fellowship. We can examine our life this morning and ask ourselves, Lord, have I become lonely, Lord? Am I lonely, Lord? Am I shying away from fellowship? Am I shying away from the other brothers and sisters? And if our answer is yes, we are lonely, the Lord wants to help us this morning, brothers and sisters. He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. He values our soul so much. He doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. And we can turn to a verse in Jude, verse 11. Just before Revelation. Book of Jude, chapter 11. We read here, for they have gone in the way of Cain, they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Here, the Bible gives us the example of these three men, of Cain, of Balaam, and of Korah. And we know all these three men had something in their heart. Cain, we heard, he had something in his heart. Balaam, he loved money, he had something in his heart. And even Korah, he wanted prominence, and that led to a rebellion in the camp. He led a rebellion against God's appointed leader. And we see God's goodness. God warned all three of them. God is faithful to warn Cain. God is faithful to warn Balaam. And God is faithful to warn Korah through Moses. God loves us so much. God did not want these three men to destroy themselves, and He warned them. But yet they went ahead and disobeyed God and did what was wrong. And even this morning as we sit here, if there is something in our heart that we know is hindering us, God wants to help us, brothers and sisters. God wants us to deal with that. You know what it is. It could be some jealousy. It could be some bitterness. It could be something that we are offended with. Let us allow the Lord to help us this morning. God does not want us to destroy our life. God wants us to do well spiritually. Every one of us, He values us and our life, and He wants us to do well. Let us take time to settle that with the Lord. You know, many times, brothers and sisters, the reason we get offended easily, the reason we become jealous, the reason we become bitter, is because the self is on the throne of our life. Jesus Christ is not truly on the throne of our life. The self is on the throne of our life. And we want to pamper that self, and we want to hear good things about ourselves. That's why we many times get offended. Let us dethrone self this morning. Let us give Jesus the true place in our hearts. Let us say, Lord, all these months, years, I have enthroned myself. Self has become so important to me, Lord, but this morning I want to dethrone self from the throne. I want to enthrone You, Lord. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I believe God really wants to help us. We can reach out to Him this morning and respond to God's word. Amen.